Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid on this January 22nd, 2021. Craig Mish and Joe Pizzapia with you here on the show. 2 hours of a lot of fantasy sports talk, reality sports talk, wagering, of course, as well. We will preview the AFC and NFC championship games, no doubt about that. But we start off, of course, here on the show today with an icon in the world, not just sports, passing away as Hank Aaron, unbelievably proud and unbelievably kind man, Hall of Famer, passes away at the age of 86. And certainly, Joe, when you talk about Hank Aaron, you're talking about somebody that transcended sports, transcended life, and really was a beacon of hope for a lot of folks, a lot of African-American folks, and the racial injustice that was thrown his way for many, many years prior to him getting into the big leagues. We'll always remember him rounding the bases for his 715th home run, but his life certainly transcends sports, and our condolences for sure today for him and his family.
That's very well put, Craig. Henry Aaron had a major impact on this nation, not just on Major League Baseball, but as a baseball player, there's no doubt about that. Henry Aaron, one of the all-time greats to ever play the game, a great player on all sides of the ball, a guy who hit 40 home runs 8 times, a guy who drove in 100 runs countless times, the home run king, and many will still call him the home run king, and that's up for debate, of course. But today is about celebrating a true legend of a human being and a true legend of a ball player, and another piece of an era of baseball that is now gone, and it's very sad to think of as such. And there's a great story that I remember hearing back in the day from the Dodgers pitchers who were sitting in a pitching meeting talking about how to, you know, go over and go through everybody on the different teams, right? And then they got to the Braves and they sat down and they went, okay, this guy you pitch inside and then bust him, you know, inside, throw some outside stuff. This guy can't hit a curveball, this stuff, blah, blah, blah. Finally, they get to Henry Aaron in the pitcher meeting. And when they get to Henry Aaron in the pitching meeting, they look around at each other and the pitching coach says, just make sure nobody's on when he hits it. That's how, because there was no way to get this guy out. He was that good of a player, and that was the consensus. Just make sure no one's on when he takes you out of the ballpark. And that tells you how great of a player he was, and the things that he had to deal with would have broken most human beings. But the strength, the character of Henry Aaron is possibly unmatched in this sport, maybe only by Jackie Robinson. And I think this is a huge loss for baseball, a huge loss for the world, and a loss for this country. But we are left with an incredible legacy, I think, of strength. And that, to me, when I think of Henry Aaron, Craig, I think of strength.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that come to mind for me today with Hank Aaron. And, you know, a couple of things that are worth noting that everybody knows publicly, and then a few things that I can tell you just from my own experience as well. The first thing that I would say is that in this day and age where a lot of sports, let's be honest, is about individualism, Hank Aaron was always about his team, and he was always about the other players that came before him and the players that came after him. He was never afraid to speak his mind on anything, but always in a way that exuded class. When he was passed by, when he passed Babe Ruth for the home run record, the first thing that he says is, I still want everybody to remember Babe Ruth for what he accomplished for the game. And he just wanted to be remembered as well in that conversation. And then the other part of it, which of course everyone will be buzzing about over the next 24, 48 hours, is the fact that his home run record was passed by Barry Bonds. And I can tell you that in this day and age of sports, there'd be very few players that would have watched their record go by the wayside without having a comment, especially as it regarded to Barry Bonds and some of the things that were alleged during his playing career. But Hank Aaron never was that guy. He always handled it with class. And I've had two different experiences with Hank Aaron, never to the point where I can sit here like so many of the other Hall of Famers have passed, that I can sit here and tell you stories for hours and hours about my experiences, just because, I mean, you're talking about a legend among legends, not just in sports, but in life. Two interactions that I had with Hank Aaron, one in spring training many years ago, and then one, I believe it was at the World Series or winter meetings, I can't even remember, but I always wanted to take that opportunity, like I have with, I've been fortunate in so many other situations, just to know that I was able to shake this man's hand for everything that he accomplished, both again in life and in sports. So without a doubt, when you think back on Hank Aaron, you're going to think of class, you're going to think of elegance, you're going to think of a man who carried himself with a lot of humility, and most importantly, you're going to think of a man who, as Joe, as you said, that had to go through things that no one should have to go through in collegiate, professional sports, or even anything in life. And to be able to overcome that in the way that he did to become arguably the greatest home run hitter of all time, if not one of the greatest athletes of all time, definitely needs to be said here at the top of the show here on Sports Grid and sportsgrid.com. So no doubt, this is a tough day, I know, for everybody in sports. It's a tough day, of course, for everybody in baseball. And it also will remind us just, honestly, with Hank Aaron, just how many legends we have lost in baseball over the last year. In my life, I don't recall anything like this in sports, seeing, I think it's 8 or 9 Hall of Famers over the last calendar year that have passed away. And then when you're talking about Hank Aaron, you're talking about someone at the top of the mountain in all of sports and all of baseball history. So condolences to Hank and his family. We will continue on here on the show, of course, more on Hank Aaron's life, his legacy, and what he did for the game. We'll also kick around fantasy sports as well, and we'll do that next. Make sure you stay on.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid, sportsgrid.com. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Craig Mish along with Joe Pizzapia. We're going to get to our NBA fantasy standouts coming up in just a minute, but just recapping the top story of the day in sports and in the world, Hank Aaron, the legendary Hall of Famer, legendary icon in sports history, passes away, Joe, at the age of 86. I know that we'll be spending quite a bit of time over the next couple of days this weekend hearing a lot about Hank Aaron and what he did both on and off the field. I know a lot of people are sharing those stories as well. Naturally, when you think of baseball and you think of just living legends in sports, you hate to do like rankings or things that sort of come up in your mind at that time, but I'm trying to think, like, amongst living players in all of sports, I mean, you certainly can put Hank Aaron in the category of Michael Jordan, Willie Mays, like Jim mm-hmm. Brown in the history of football. Like, I mean, this is a man who transcended everything, and a great loss, I think, just for not just the baseball community, but the sports world also.
And I think a loss of a player who I don't think was truly as appreciated in his time as maybe he should have been for a myriad of reasons. And you look at the cumulative numbers of Hank Aaron, they're incredibly impressive. But just this week, we did the fun thing where we looked at the average season of George Springer. How about the average season of Hank Aaron? And mind you, this is over 23 seasons, 37 home runs, 113 RBIs per season, 107 runs scored, a .305 batting average, and a .928 OPS. So that's over 20 plus seasons. That means injuries and all these other things. If you look at the game log of this guy and what he was able to do for years and years and how consistent of a player he was for decades, plural, it is stunning. And yeah, he's in that Gretzky, Jim Brown, Willie Mays, Michael Jordan group of all-time greats. And on top of which, the things that he had to burden in his sport were just simply not fair. I don't think any human being should have to burden what Jackie Robinson, what Henry Aaron, those people had to burden during their time. And it's nice to see that there's been an evolution and a movement away from that over these last few decades, but there's still a lot of work to be done there. I think we could all agree. But overall, Henry Aaron's life, I think, outweighs his career. And that is what makes him so special.
Well, certainly we'll continue to talk about this throughout the show. We are a fantasy show as well and a wagering show, and I know that a lot of you tune in for that as well. So let's get right to that. And certainly NBA fantasy standouts from last night. We're going to bring in our producer, Brett Levy, to talk about this a little bit. But let's go ahead and get started and take a look at who did what across the NBA Association. And certainly it was a big night for a lot of different scorers, and saw another big game, by the way, for Steph Curry yesterday. But Julius Randle and the bunch, the New York Knicks, continued to have a big game. But LeBron James is the name today leading us off, talking about living legends. My gosh, like LeBron James going to play till he's 50, like Brady. 34 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal and 1 block. Giannis, 20-point, 12-rebound game, 3 assists and a block. Donovan Mitchell, also a big game for the Utah Jazz. Brett, I mean, in the years that you were, you know, following and working in the NBA, I mean, I suppose that when you're looking at LeBron James, it's like, for me, when I think of icons and I think of sports history, you know, Hank Aaron is one of those guys. He walks into a room and immediately you're like, whoa. I felt that way about Michael Jordan. I didn't have that same feeling, Brett, about LeBron James. I think it's only because I got a chance to interact and see him every day here in Miami. Maybe it was a little bit different. But, you know, he's playing at such a high level this year. And he played at a high level last year, too. Don't get me wrong, in winning the championship. But what a game for him last night.
Yeah, I mean, he's different, Craig. He's definitely one of those guys we're all going to look back on and be thankful we got to watch play. He's fantastic. And you're right, he's keeping it up. Anthony Davis wasn't particularly great last night. Contavious Caldwell-Pope was amazing. 70% from 3 last night for KCP. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he did have some help, but it was definitely the LeBron show last night.
Yeah, Joe. Yeah,
speaking of, I'm sorry, Craig. I was going to say, speaking of three-pointers, you know, when we're talking about what's going on in the NBA, the Jazz now are 1-7 in a row. They have set a record over the first 15 games with 248 three-pointers. That is a staggering number. Now, with that being said, and the way that they're playing right now, the way the Utah Jazz is able to spread the basketball around, the depth, we were just talking about them last week, does this element of their three-point shooting in this new era of the NBA where defense isn't quite what she used to be, is this going to be the formula for them to not only run through the regular season, but maybe the playoffs as well? Because they might not have the big threes or the big star power of maybe some other teams, but my goodness, that is a shocking number. And I guess here's the question. Is it sustainable at this point for them to continue at that sort of a pace of shooting threes?
Well, I always like Utah in the postseason just because it's so tough to play at altitude. So anytime you have to travel to Denver or Utah, there's honestly a built-in home court advantage regardless of what the team is or if there's fans, right? It's one of the few places that there's still home field advantage. So it's tough to play in Utah regardless. But yeah, when You're getting 3-point production like the Jazz are. They're going to be a tough out regardless. I think they're more of a regular season team. In the postseason, the game tends to slow down. A lot more ISO basketball tends to be played. Now, they have a great ISO player, Donovan Mitchell, so he can score with anyone, and they have a great inside defender, Rudy Gobert. So, Utah's really, really good. I'm not sure they're my favorite to come out of the West, but no one wants to go and travel to Utah.
Yeah, and I think that that's kind of the point, and we've talked about Utah now a couple different times this week. They're not sexy, they're not as fun as some of the other teams in the NBA. They just win. My guess is they're going to be a 3 or 4 seed in the West and pound in their first round. But I mean, Brett, like you said earlier in the week, you get a couple stars on the other side, and it just becomes a little bit different because the other team is going to have inevitably 2 better players probably than Utah when they get past that first round in the NBA. Another big game for Julius Randle. Do they still, Brett, give out the award for most improved player? I mean, where would Randle even rank at this point after what he's been able to do for the Knicks? I know the Knicks won a lot at the beginning, and then they lost a lot in the middle, and now we're back in that win-lose thing. But for Randle, just in general, I mean, I don't think that anybody kind of saw this coming, and I don't know what kind of award he could win, but he's definitely made a big jump.
Yeah, no, he'll definitely be in the running for most improved player. He's been fantastic. He should make his first All-Star game this year, Craig. I'd be pretty surprised if he didn't. The way he's playing, he's carrying the Knicks. RJ Barrett had his career high last night. So pretty cool moment for him. He was probably the second highest touted Canadian in recent memory, the other being Andrew Wiggins. So the two of them on the court and him having his career high against a player he probably played against a lot or idolized a lot growing up, pretty cool moment. And obviously, you said the Knicks kind of winning and losing, they're 8-8. But honestly, Craig, the way the Knicks have been over the last few years, I haven't heard one sad Knicks fan. So I'm pretty sure they'll all take 8-8 right now.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. At the end of the year, if the Knicks are 36 up and 36 down, they're gonna make the playoffs in 2021. So I don't think, as you said, that anybody would have any beef with that. Big matchups, Brett, for tonight or the weekend that you got your eye on. What are they in the NBA this weekend?
I mean, there's 10 games tonight, Craig. You could go any which way. So many games to watch. A lot of college basketball as well this weekend, but I'm so focused on the NFL with the championship game, so that's where I'm focused on.
All right. Well, Brett, thanks for checking in all week long with the Fantasy Standouts, and we'll hear again from you next week. We'll go through it and talk a little DFS too. We'll mix in some of that, see who did what as far as that's concerned. Thanks again for joining us. Appreciate it. Well, Joe, as we said, we're mourning the loss certainly here of Hank Aaron passing away at the age of 86. I know that I personally, have to be really, really cognizant of the fact of what he did, not just for sports, but what he did for the game. And I'm guessing that as we kind of move the story forward, Joe, there's going to be a lot.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more
Moto
details.
Moto Casino.
A lot of Barry Bonds discussion incoming, I think, too. Not to mention, Joe, the Hall of Fame is next week, so we'll be getting much deeper into that as we go. We'll take a quick break and be right back. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We'll be right back. Welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today, Sports Grid, sportsgrid.com. Craig Mish, Joe Pizzapia. We're going to preview the AFC and NFC Championship game, go through some player props we promised we would do on the show. If you're just joining us, we have been discussing the life of Henry Aaron, who passed away at the age of 86. You could go back and watch that on demand. We've been talking about it now for about 25 minutes. But, of course, a lot of you watch the show on demand on our YouTube channel over on sportsgrid.com. You can find all of our content there. We'll also talk more about Hank coming up at the top of the hour, 1 o'clock Eastern, so stay tuned for that as well. Okay, now for us, Joe, it's a big weekend in the NFL, and of course the final weekend with two games, my fifth straight day, I think, of saying that, because I'm going to miss it so much, not having multiple games when it's just one to me. I know you love the one. It's no fun for me. I like having all of them. But let's look at the latest here over on FanDuel. Not exciting here for the AFC Championship game, that is for sure. It remains the same. The line, Buffalo Bills, Kansas City Chiefs, same line, 3, same total. You know, it's going up and down, 53.5, 53, 53.5, 53. I'm seeing a lot of different places. This is kind of shifting a little bit. So Joe, I think that if people didn't watch the show yesterday, I suppose that this is probably our final look at this thing before Sunday goes. It does appear that Patrick Mahomes is going to play. I think some good points have been made about his foot, maybe the possible injury there, how that could affect his running. Kansas City also comes in a little bit more banged up than Buffalo, and the total is 53.5, and the side is Chiefs -3. So of the four, I would say generic possibilities here before we get into the props, meaning Bills, Chiefs, over or under. Which is your favorite of the four?
My favorite are the Bills with the 3. I said it yesterday, and I'm going to stick to it. I think this is going to be a similar game to last week, where you have a team that is supposed to win in advance going against a team that is playing with house money and nobody thought would be there. And that makes them very dangerous. And they don't have any quit in them. Buffalo has no quit in them. They play good defensively. And on the flip side, Kansas City's defense has been lackluster. Yeah, the Mahomes injury. I still think somehow Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy and this team of coaches who are just impeccable are going to find a way to call this game well enough to make the plays that they have to in those right spots. And it's going to be a little student teacher here kind of thing too, you know, on the opposite sides of this ball with the coaches. But I got to tell you, Craig, I think the Kansas City comes out victorious in this one, but it is going to be close. That's my favorite one. So the Bills with the 3.
Okay. Yeah. My favorite of the four is leaning on the over 53.5. I just don't have a strong feeling on the side. I've tossed and turned and gone back and forth, but we've yet to get what I would say is one of those playoff epic games, I would say, thus far. There have been some good games, but we haven't gotten that one game where it's like 37-35, 2 minutes to go, team with the ball is trailing type finish. And Buffalo, Indianapolis may have actually been that the first
one. I was just going to say, the first game of the playoffs, I think, was the best shot we had at that.
It could have been.
Hasn't been anything like that.
It could have been. Because it's not to say that all the games have been bad, but let's be honest. There hasn't been a lot of drama in these games at the end. And I think we're going to get one this weekend. I don't know that we're going to get two, but I think we're going to get one. And I think the one that we're going to get like that is this one, Buffalo, Kansas City. So I'll go over 53.5. And it's not something I love, but certainly I want to give my opinion out there here on the show as we close out the football season. All right, now let's move over to some player props here, and let's take a look at Josh Allen's props over on the FanDuel Sportsbook. His passing yards are sitting at 302.5, and that's -112. And his rushing yards are at 33.5, and a little bit extra juice on the over as opposed to the under. And then very clearly on the passing touchdowns at 2.5, very heavily favored toward under 2.5. And the reason why, Joe, as you know, Josh Allen gets on the 2. What does he do? Runs it in. And he doesn't throw it. And that's pretty much been going on for 2 years now. So any strong opinions on any of these? On the passing total, rushing total, or the passing touchdowns -190, that's not going to be a fair assessment, no, honestly, here. It's big chalk.
The one to me that actually sticks out as maybe the best wager is the over on the rushing yards for Josh Allen. And part of it is because I think there's going to be a necessity of Josh Allen to make some plays. And I think you can see Josh Allen at one point in the third quarter, the fourth quarter in this game, ripping off a 20-yard run. If he does that, he's going to go over this mark for the game. I think that would be very surprising if he did not. The injury to Zach Moss certainly took another wrinkle out of that run game that they have. And I think Devin Singletary is a very specific kind of runner. So Josh Allen, I feel like, is going to kind of take things into his own hands. I think that passing number is a little high for me. but it's not a thrilling number that I feel really good one way or the other about. In terms of the passing touchdown number, there's a lot of concern there with Josh Allen because, as you said, he could have three touchdowns in this game and they could all be rushing. I mean, that's just the way sometimes the Bills offense runs, and that's the danger you run in that number. But of all the numbers out there, the 33.5 to me in this game against Kansas City, look, if you're Kansas City right now, what do you want to do? You stop the wide receivers. You're going to drop, play a lot of cover two. I imagine you're going to try to double Stephon Diggs as best as you possibly can. And what that's going to do is that's going to leave some room for Josh Allen to run the football. And I think when you're looking at how do you want to stop the Bills, what that means defensively, what that means for potential offense from Buffalo, I think Buffalo will be happy to take what they can get. And I can't imagine Josh Allen not having at least one big run this game, if not two, for that big, you know, backbreaking. It's a 3rd and 12 and he runs for 18 for a first down. If that run happens once in this game, I think this 33 gets obliterated. So I actually like the over in this one.
Okay, minus 118 on the over there. I'll lean a little over on passing yards, 302.5. I actually like a couple of these receiving better. So let's get to those here. And let's start off with Kansas City's two main weapons. Tyreek Hill, 79.5 receiving yards. We have Travis Kelce at 96.5. Stephon Diggs, 93.5. John Brown at 50.5. So there's a couple of things here. If Travis Kelce's number looks high, it is. It is high. It is high for a tight end. But then when you go back, Joe, and you look at Buffalo's struggles against the tight end, you realize that it's too low. So I'm actually going to go over this 96.5 on Travis Kelce. I'm also going to lean on the over on Stephon Diggs. No one has stopped Stephon Diggs all season long. So why would Kansas City be able to do it? Hill, I'm not sure. Hill is always going to require a 50-yard bomb in order to go over an 80. And I don't know that that's going to happen or not in this game. Bill's defense has played pretty well. John Brown, I don't have much of a feel for. Missed a lot of games, came back, catches balls near the sidelines. I mean, he could go 4 for 46, and nobody would say it's a bad game for him. So I'm going over on two of these. Under, I'm just going to not going to do an under here. I got an under coming up on the next one. So I'll go over on Kelce, 96.5, over on Diggs, 93.5. How about you?
Yeah, I'm in lockstep with you, actually. And if you need a reminder about how they struggle against tight ends, go back and look at Jack Doyle's numbers in that Indianapolis game. Lest we forget. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, so the strength of the Bills is what? The corners and the safeties. So those guys are going to be shutting down Tyreek Hill. Those guys are going to try to take all those guys out, make, you know, Patrick Mahomes make some tough decisions, make them try to run the football. Last time, it backfired a little bit because CEH had a huge game, but he's not healthy. And I don't think Darrell Williams is the same kind of talented back as Clyde Edwards-Helaire when he's healthy. And we shall see what happens. But that what that does is it opens up the middle of the field for Travis Kelce to work. I like the over of Travis Kelce as well. And I keep waiting for somebody to stop Stephon Diggs, but it doesn't seem like anyone can. And he's had some tough corner matchups too. Over the year, there's been some matchups where you look at it and go, okay, this is probably the down game. No, it's not. And I want to give them credit because if you watch the Buffalo Bills offense closely, which you'll see a lot, Craig, and I'm sure you've noticed this as well, they'll run a lot of trips right to one side. When you have the three wide receivers in that one spot, they'll run a lot of picks and a lot of different things where they're able to get Stephon Diggs out in space, or they're able to get him in the mismatch of the coverage. And that's been the secret sauce for them all year. It's not just Stephon Diggs in one spot by himself just getting open. No. It is Stephon Diggs in a cluster of wide receivers. You'll see him sometimes, and all of a sudden, three guys going in different directions. The coverage gets messed up. Next thing you know, Stephon Diggs is downfield with a huge catch for 60 yards, and I think that's the difference maker. And they're going to have to continue to lean on that. They don't have a great run game. Diggs is going to be targeted a lot in this game. I can't imagine him not having double-digit targets, even if things go awry. How do you not get this guy the ball, at least try to, in that 10 to 11 or 12 target kind of range? So for me, it's definitely the over on Diggs, the over on Kelce. I don't think the Hill number is investable. It's too much of a risk for me with Mahomes' current injury situation. I'm just not confident in that right now.
All right. And we're going to get to the NFC Championship game in just a minute. Before we do, just some breaking news real quick. NFL Network is reporting Antonio Brown is going to be out Sunday for the Buccaneers. So we'll take a look at those props. And Brett, while we're in our break, let's look and make sure that all of these numbers are the same too. That's going to be important. Devin Singletary's props, rushing yards, 41.5, receiving yards, 17.5, rushing and receiving, 62.5. I have temptation on under all three, but I simply, what I'm going to do, Joe, is combine the two and go under 62.5 for Devin Singletary. They have to have a big lead, I think, for Singletary to go over these. I don't even think a 3-point lead is enough. I'm going under.
Yeah, I think the safest is the combined under specifically. And that's why I wanted to make sure that this one was something that we targeted today and talked about, because that feels like the one you can control the most. And like you're saying, you know, is he prolific in the passing game? No. Has he been prolific running the football this year? No. So instead of taking the risk of going one or the other, just combine them and you have a better chance, I think, of hitting that, because you give yourself some more outs, basically. And I think that's the way you want to look at that. But that Josh Allen rushing number, I think that of all the things in this game is the most appealing to me. Maybe the Travis Kelce over as well. Those are the two props that I think speak the most to me and the best opportunity to really focus in on and get right.
All right. Well, coming up next, we're going to take a look at the NFC Championship game, Buccaneers and Packers. And with the news now out that Antonio Brown not going to play this week, how will that potentially affect Mike Evans and Chris Godwin's numbers coming up this weekend? Well, we have props on those, courtesy of the FanDuel Sportsbook, and we will give those to you coming up next right here on SportsGrid and SportsGrid.com. Also, don't forget, we're here every day, Monday through Friday, from noon to 2 Eastern, and we'll be right back here on Monday recapping the AFC and NFC Championship games. And so make sure you stay tuned to that. Jim Sannis is going to give his take on which players you should be playing in DFS this weekend as well amongst those four teams. He's coming up in about 35 minutes. So that's coming up. But we'll be right back in 2 minutes with our NFC Championship game preview.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important...
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Important topics in sports wagering, real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back. We continue looking at the AFC and NFC Championship games, where you guys can go right now over to the FanDuel Sportsbook, take out all the lines coming up this weekend, including the NFL. And this is the NFC Championship look. We've got it here for you. Buccaneers and Packers going to be playing, where the Bucs are the underdog in this one with Tom Brady. The Packers are laying 3. The total is 52.5. I can't go against the Packers here. I know it looks too easy. It looks simple. It kind of looks like last week did almost against the Rams, and you're trying to find, and really the best sports wagering analysts in the world are going to give you another side. They're going to give you both sides of the story. They're never just going to say it's going to be a blowout, it's going to happen. You have to look at it that way, because It in the end, your analysis could be correct, but a team could fumble, or the Browns could fumble out of the end zone, and then things change. And so I'm not here to tell you that anything is a guarantee, or that the Packers are going to blow them out or anything like that. I just can't make the case for Tampa Bay. And I think, Joe, for me, honestly, it's more of an indictment on the Saints than it is pro Packers. I don't know that I'll be taking the Packers in the Super Bowl, but the Saints were so unimpressive against Tampa Bay last week, and taking Breeze out and having Winston throwing, it just tells me there was so much going on there that we didn't know. And the Packers are playing very well, and I think it's been a great year for Tampa Bay. They absolutely could win. They absolutely could cover. And they did smash the Packers the first time they played, but Saints smashed the Bucs first two times they played. That didn't factor in. I'm going to take Green Bay here, -3. It's probably of the two games, I feel a little bit better about it, and I just don't want to overthink this one.
I don't think you should. I don't think anyone should. Green Bay is playing the best football of all four remaining teams, and that means collectively. Their confidence level, their execution level. Aaron Rodgers is at an MVP caliber season. They're very consistent. They play some good defense. Not great, but good. solid. They show up in big spots. They're able to get third downs now with Robert Tonyan that they couldn't get last year in big spots. They can run the football now, not just with Aaron Jones, but with Dylan and with Jamal Williams as well. So there's a lot of things to like about the Packers. And I am not overthinking this one. I am very confident in this one. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. That's okay. But I definitely feel as though the Packers are the team to beat. The Packers in the three is the right side of this game to be on. And I am Mr. Tom Brady. I might have a TB12 somewhere tattooed on my body for all we know, but I have to keep it real. And I have to keep it just based on what I've seen so far in the playoffs. And yes, they did beat them in the regular season, but that was what, week six? That's a very long time ago. And I think that the Packers since then have really grown as a team, and Tampa has improved, but Tampa's not throttling teams either. You know, Tampa's winning games, but I wouldn't say they're winning them convincingly like, oh my God, they're dominating. I think the defense has had some tremendous moments. I think Tom Brady has played very well. I think getting a healthy Chris Godwin back has been exponentially important for this team. But when all said and done, I just feel like the Packers are kind of the foregone conclusion here. And sometimes the chalk is good. And this feels like the good chalk to me.
Yeah, it could. Tampa Bay could easily win, though, too. I don't want to sit here and make a case just for one team and overwhelm everyone with a pick, because that's not the way that it works. But the other possibility, too, you get to this stage in the game, depending on what your bankroll is in terms of betting, you're only going to be betting on two football games the rest of the year, maybe three. If you're betting on the Super Bowl, I always think the Super Bowl is the worst game ever to bet on. Props are fine, but the lines are so tight. You could take the money line. You could take Packers money line at minus 170 or 180, whatever it is right now. And you don't even have to worry about the Bucs, you know, converting a 2-point conversion at the end of the game. Packers just win, you win. Something to think about. Okay, passing yard props. Let's take a look at them both for Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. Passing yards for Rodgers, 283.5. Tom Brady, 285.5. Not much differential for either of these players. I suppose, Joe, it just depends on what kind of game you think this is. We know that neither team loves to run the ball, but they're kind of forced into situations to run the ball. If I had to guess, and I don't have a strong opinion on either of these, if I had to guess, one of them is going to go over and one of them is going to go under. I don't think it's going to be both in this game. So do you see it that way, or do you think that both go a certain way?
I do. I actually think it's what you're saying, that one goes over. And if I'm going to put my money on the one that goes over, even though I think Tom Brady's on the losing end of this one, I actually think it's Aaron Rodgers. And it goes back to execution. It goes back to how well he's playing right now. And also it goes back to getting healthy other pieces too. Not just Tonyan playing well, but also Alan Lazard showing up in these games recently too. So he's been able to spread the ball around a little bit. And it just feels like Aaron Rodgers is just in the zone, as they like to say. And you see this sometimes. You saw with Patrick Mahomes last year. And you've seen it with Tom Brady in certain seasons where you just feel like Peyton Manning, all these guys, where they're just locked in. And when you have a player like that, of that magnitude locked in, it is very hard to stop them. And I think this Antonio Brown news also is something to take into account to this Brady number while it's still available. And I think Brady would be my under if I had to pick who's going over, who's going under. I would go Rodgers over because of the execution, and I would go Brady under because I still think Tampa, even though they're on the precipice of a Super Bowl, is actually still a work in progress to a large extent.
Yeah, I don't know that I would say that. They've had a really good year. They're one game away from the Super Bowl.
Execute so well that you think that, but look, take last week for an example, right? Were you impressed with the offense of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, or were you more impressed with the defense of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I think that their defense was opportunistic. They didn't drop interceptions, and that happens a lot, and we don't talk about that a lot. They caught the ball when Breeze threw the ball to them. But I would say that, in my opinion, what you're saying is unfair. There's four teams left. Tampa's one of them. You know, like, what more could you ask for as comparison to 26 other teams in the NFL, in my opinion? I'm going to lean over on Brady. I'm going to lean over here. It seems like he goes over every single time. Every playoff game, the guy goes over. So I don't think he has to go over and win. I think he can go over and lose. But that's my opinion there on that. Let's move on to rushing yards here. Could be our last Leonard Fournette mention in the next last 6 months. Could be here. It's possible. 42.5, his total over under. They're not posting odds on Jones yet, Ronald Jones. And Aaron Jones is 59.5. And his total is minus 112. We know the Bucs defense is pretty stellar. They do a really good job against running backs. But in this one in particular, I suppose, does the 42.5 have any difference for you, Joe, whether or not Jones plays or not? Like, what if I told you Jones played? Like, would you still like a possible over on Fournette?
I think it becomes very dicey. It just does, because Ronald Jones, you know, when he's in that lineup, he does have that potential. Now, the one thing they said in that game last week, I don't know if it's changed week over week, is the problem all week in practice with Ronald Jones was he could run, but he didn't have the burst. He didn't have that ability to break away. And you kind of saw it in that Saints game. You saw him get the football and then run to the sideline, basically, a number of times. So I think it's capping him to a certain extent. I think Fournette either way is going to be a big part of this game plan. And I wish, actually, if there was a number for Fournette's combined yardage, that would be well more intriguing to me, because he's the better pass catcher of these two guys. And I think that you're going to see a fair amount of that. Now, the reason why I would lean slightly over if Ronald Jones is out, which I don't think that's going to be the case, he's going to be active in this game, but I would still lean over with Fournette, is because Green Bay's inability to stop the run this year. I mean, just go back even to last week. Cam Akers had 90 yards. Before that, you had a lot of guys just running roughshod over the Green Bay Packers defense, and that's the one thing you've been able to do successfully is run the football. So 42 is a very small number. You just got to get him enough carries. And once again, this is where the Antonio Brown news works in, right? Antonio Brown out. That's a few other targets that would have been throws. Maybe those go to Leonard Fournette. Maybe they decide to pull back a little more conservative, eat a little bit more clock, keep Aaron Rodgers off the field as much as you possibly can. That's got to be in Bruce Arians' mind. I know Bruce Arians is the most, you know, aggressive coach possibly out there. He wants to throw the ball 99 times out of 100. But at the same time, with Aaron Rodgers on the other side, I don't know if that's the best recipe to advance to the Super Bowl. And I think you have to try to get Leonard Fournette a fair amount of carries in this game. The Aaron Jones number, I personally would not touch. If anything, I would lean towards the under, because that run defense has been spectacular. And even if Vita Vea plays, I don't know, 20 snaps, 30 snaps, having him in those big spots on the line again, that is a huge re-addition to this defensive line.
Receiving yard props, and we've got three to talk about here. We just got the news Antonio Brown going to miss the game, so that could clearly factor in our decisions here. Davante Adams' total is 89.5, Mike Evans 62.5, and Chris Godwin 65.5. So let me ask you this, Joe. Let me ask you this. Aside from Antonio Brown playing or not, why am I not just taking my money and putting it on Evans under 62.5? Talk me out of that.
I can't do it. From a fantasy perspective, you know, his points this year have been so heavily tied to touchdown equity. It's insane. And if that touchdown equity regresses next season, he could go very easily from a wide receiver one to a wide receiver three. The Godwin number is appealing, especially with Brown out, because I just think Chris Godwin is a terrific wide receiver who seems to have a very good rapport. But the other issue is, where's Jaire Alexander going to be? Go look at the numbers of what Jaire Alexander's done this year. It is staggering how good he's been. If he's going to be locked in on Evans that whole time, this is an absolute under. And you can go look at the numbers of Alexander.
This seems off. It seems like this is my favorite one of all the ones we're discussing here. But maybe I'm off.
What's your thoughts on the Adams one? Is that too high for you? It feels kind of, I don't know.
I don't know. He's the primary guy. So it's not that. It's not that I could see it going over. I could see him hitting what I try to do is build it for both sides. So if you told me 7 catches, 86 yards, I'd be like, yeah, I mean, that's still a great game and a touchdown. But Evans, Joe, Evans, like, when has he had over 62 yards all year?
Not
like, how many times have you done that? 4, 5, maybe maximum this season, 6 months in one catch for 3 yards last week. So even with Brown out, I don't know. I think Scotty Miller gets more involved, you know, like Gronk gets more involved, and Brady just moves the ball around the entire game. It's like he never has one guy. Now, the thing is with Godwin, as we saw last week, Godwin back of the end zone, Joe, catches that ball. I mean, this dude has 200 yards receiving last week. Like, that's a little scary for me. I could see that going over. And I know that Evans is a deep target at times, but I don't see this. I don't see this. So I'm going to have to strongly lean for everybody here on the under 62.5 on Evans.
I think everything you're saying is correct on Evans. And it's also a product of the offense, too. I don't think Tom Brady is that deep ball throwing quarterback that Jameis Winston was last year in this offense. So that's why you don't see the Mike Evans, you know, we're used to sometimes seeing Mike Evans for 170, right? It's like 7 catches for 170. We've seen that stat line as recently as 2 years ago. Not so much now. Tom Brady's a different offense. They're running off the play action. And that's why I think Godwin's number with this news right now, I think before it might adjust, this might be one to jump on. It feels like something there's a great opportunity. And Godwin is so good at what he does. And he's such a good complement to where Tom Brady is now in his career. And you could tell, I mean, they speak so glowingly of each other and they seem to have a great relationship too. And you could tell that I feel like the minute Tom Brady started to turn things around after that bye week, it just so happened that that's also when Chris Godwin got healthy. And I don't think that's an accident. Yeah. I think that's just the truth. And I think that with Mike Evans this year, Mike Evans could have 2 touchdowns in this game and still go well under that number. that's yeah. the danger of that right now and the way he's being used in this offense.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, well, we got plenty more to come. We got a little trivia, little stats coming up for you. And then at the top of the hour, we'll recap our top stories right here on Fantasy Sports Today as we continue to discuss the life and career of Hank Aaron, who passed away at the age of 86. That will be our focus here on this show. Certainly biggest story of the week, no doubt, in sports, whether it's wagering or fantasy or reality. That's the one that's big for us today. We'll take a quick time out here on Fantasy Sports Today. By the way, follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid. We'll be right back in just 2 minutes. Stay on the grid. Don't go away.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time to close out our week with a little fantasy trivia, talking playoffs in the past. And let's turn it over to Joe. He's got the question. See if I can get the answer.
Yes, we shall. Now, look, we've got 3 of the last 4 quarterbacks now remaining in the NFL season to have had MVPs to their name, which is pretty impressive. That's a great group of quarterbacks. And who knows? Maybe Josh Allen will pull one out of his hat this week. But I want to ask you, with all that great quarterback play that we've had in championship games in years past, who has been the greatest in terms of passing yards in a single championship game? Craig Mish, who has the most passing yards in a single conference championship? And I'll give you a hint, because I know it's a little harder. When it's harder in a multiple choice, I give you a hint. The hint is the 2008 playoffs is when this happened.
Can I ask one question?
You may ask one question.
Is this player in the Hall of Fame or a Hall of Famer?
He will be in the Hall of Fame lock, stock, and barrel very soon.
Peyton Manning.
That is correct. Peyton Manning, 400 passing yards. Fun fact about this game, Craig. In these 400 yards he threw, no wide receiver, no single one wide receiver had 100 yards. He had receptions by 9 different guys in this game, and this game was against the Chargers at that time too. So Philip Rivers on the other side of this game, who just retired, mind you. So an incredible stat, and makes you remember how great at playing the quarterback position Peyton Manning was. The fact that he could go out there, find 9 different guys on his team to throw the football to, not one single one had the big, unbelievable, oh, Reggie Wayne had a 150-yard day, or Marvin Harrison. No. Everybody's eating today. And Peyton Manning with a 400 spot. Not too shabby for old Peyton.
Yep, no doubt. Peyton Manning, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, next week or the week after will be announced of being in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So we're going to do our own Baseball Hall of Fame discussion next week for sure on the show. So we got to wrap up this first hour, and certainly a lot more to talk about as we continue to honor Hank Aaron with his passing today at the age of 86 years old. We'll talk about him coming up next. in our headlines at the top of the hour. Also go over everything that's going on in sports as well. You're watching Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid, and we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Boto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.